it very well could be the end of us. When I remain silent, lost in thoughts of the past, she blurts, "But that was a long time ago. Mav's moved on. It's all water under the bridge." That remains to be seen. When the last notes of the song currently pulsing through the speakers vibrate through the air, a large man hefts himself onto the makeshift stage and raises his arms in an effort to capture everyone's attention. I glance around, surprised at how quickly the rowdy crowd has quieted. "Looks like it's that time of the evening," Juliet says. My brows pinch as my gaze moves to her again. "What do you mean?" She nods toward the man. "You've never been here after a Wildcats win?" I shake my head, intrigued by what's about to happen, as a sense of expectation buzzes in the air. "Any chance you like to sing?" she asks with a smile. "Only in the shower, does that count?" she chuckles. "Sure." The questions that have gathered on the tip of my tongue are cut off when the man's voice booms through the microphone.
"Our boys brought home another win tonight, and you know what that means."
I squeak in surprise when the crowd bellows back in unison, "Karaoke!"
"You got it,"
he points to the drunken college kids with a grin.
"Now, who's going to start us off tonight?"
That's all the encouragement three hockey players need to jump onto the stage. They spend a minute or two picking out a song before belting out Bruno Mars's Grenade. Color me impressed. They're not half bad.
"Babe?"
Ryder materializes next to Juliet before holding out his hand for her to take.
"Are we going to sing our song?"
She pops to her feet before pressing a kiss against his lips. "Would you let me leave tonight without doing it?" A smile breaks out across his face.
"Nope."
With that, he wraps a brawny arm around her shoulders before steering her toward the stage. I'm curious as to what their song is. Maverick drops down into the chair his sister just vacated before passing me a bottle of sparkling water. "Thanks."
"Not a problem."
Once the first few notes float on the air, I recognize it. "Bring Me to Life" by Evanescence. If I was impressed by the three hockey players, I'm blown away by Juliet. "Wow, your sister has an amazing voice." Maverick flashes a smile as pride lights up his eyes.
"She took choir all through high school, and this has always been one of her favorites."
Her big blonde boyfriend is no slouch in the karaoke department either. All that brawny muscle and the man can actually carry a tune. I can't help but be drawn into their performance. They stare at one another as if they're unaware of the crowd watching them. "They're really good together." Maverick nods before admitting almost grudgingly.
"They are. I'm still getting used to thinking of them as a couple, but it's getting easier."
"It'll just take time for your relationship with Ryder to settle into something new." I nudge his shoulder with my own. "I still think you should mention it to him." He jerks his shoulders.
"Maybe. We'll see. It's doubtful they'll be breaking up anytime soon. I think this has been a long time in coming. Plus, he'd be a fool to let her go."
I glance at the couple on stage. The love between them is obvious. It's difficult not to be envious of it. I hope for Maverick's sake that they can find the closeness they once shared. It would be a shame if he allowed his sister's relationship to get between him and his friend. Applause rings throughout the bar as the final notes of the song reverberate on the air. The blonde I met at the game takes her place on the makeshift stage. She sings Criminal by Fiona Apple. It's slow and erotic. There's a handsome guy sitting a couple chairs away from me, who leans his elbows on the table and smiles, all the while watching her. I glance at Karina again. She moves her body as if she knows exactly how to command a crowd. Even I'm entranced by her performance. It doesn't take long to realize that she's serenading him. And he's totally here for it. Fire leaps to life in his eyes. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if he jumped up, stormed the stage, and threw her over his shoulder before stalking out of the bar. The heat these two generate is combustible and off the charts. I lean closer to Maverick before pointing toward Karina and the hunky hockey player who's way too good-looking for his own good. With those chiseled cheekbones, he could be a model. I assume those two are together?
Yep. Ford had been not so secretly pining for his ex-stepsister ever since I met him. He snorts. You should have seen the way he'd trail after her like a puppy dog.
I blink, uncertain if I heard him correctly. Did you say ex-stepsister? He chuckles.
Sure did.
Huh. That sounds like an interesting story.
If you ask Karina, I'm sure she'd be happy to share all the gory details with you.
I consider the idea. I might just have to do that. My earlier suspicions were correct. As soon as Karina wraps up the song, Ford leaps to his feet and stalks to the stage. He nabs her fingers before towing her to him and laying one on her. The crowd goes even more nuts than before. Whistles and shouts for them to get a room echo throughout the dark bar. Ford grins at his teammates before throwing Karina over his shoulder and carting her through the thick crowd and out the back door. My guess is that we won't be seeing them anytime soon. Maverick shakes his head as a smile simmers at the corners of his lips.
That guy is such a caveman.
Maybe that's true. But what girl wouldn't want to be whisked away like that? A few more couples and groups of people make their way to the stage. Some are pretty amazing, although not nearly as good as Juliet or Karina. Juliet knows how to project her voice, and Karina can captivate and command the crowd with sexy moves. The man who owns the bar and kicked off karaoke returns with the microphone.
Last song of the night. Who's it gonna be?
It's a surprise when Maverick pops to his feet and drags me up with him.
Come on, sunshine.
What? I squeak, unable to believe he didn't discuss the situation with me first. He pulls me closer before pressing his lips against mine.
Let's sing together, you and me.
I groan, indecision spiraling through me. I've been to a couple of bars and watched karaoke, but not once have I ever been tempted to do it myself. I've always been way too shy. The idea of getting up there in front of all these people and embarrassing myself is almost paralyzing.
It'll be fun,
Maverick says, interrupting the whirl of my thoughts.
I promise.
I search his mahogany-colored eyes for a long, silent heartbeat before reluctantly giving in. All right. He flashes a grin before pulling me to the stage where Sully waits.
First time up here, McKinnon.
Maverick glances at me before winking.
Guess I was waiting to find the perfect partner first.
That's all it takes for my heart to skip a painful beat.
Have something in mind? Sully asks.
I'll cue it up.
Maverick's gaze turns speculative as it slides back to me.
Actually, I do.
He leans closer to the bar owner before murmuring something I can't quite catch. Sully glances at me with twinkling eyes before spinning away. After a minute or two, he shoots a look over his shoulder.
All set.
This won't go well if you don't tell me what we're about to sing.
As soon as you hear the first few notes, I promise you'll know. And if you don't, or freeze up, I'll do the heavy lifting and carry us. Sound good?
I suck in an unsteady breath, holding it captive in my lungs before forcing it out again. Okay. My gaze reluctantly scans the crowd, who have quieted and are watching us with interest. The realization that every eye in the house is staring at us is nerve-wracking. It's tempting to toss the microphone to Sully and race off the stage and out the door into the cool night air. As soon as the guitar riff opens with the pulsating beat, recognition slams into me. It's the one I played on repeat during chemo. The positive and upbeat melody never failed to make me feel invincible. As if I could fight my way through whatever obstacles stood in my path. It was my own personal anthem that helped me battle leukemia. As silly as it sounds, once I was officially in remission, I emailed Natasha Bedingfield and shared with her just how meaningful Pocketful of Sunshine was to me. Maverick's lips quirk as he croons the first verse. I blink, surprised to find that, like his sister, his vocals are impressive. When I continue to stare, he raises his brows. I force out the second verse as we harmonize together. I've sung this song more than 1,000 times and listened to it on repeat for hours. It's not necessary to look at the screen. With my gaze locked on Maverick's, I belt out the lyrics, giving every ounce of energy that I have to them. Midway through, I realize that I'm smiling so hard that my cheeks hurt. When I sing the chorus for a final time, Maverick repeats it. I throw my hands up and close my eyes as the last notes vibrate in the air. Thunderous applause breaks out as Maverick sweeps me off my feet and spins us in a tight circle. Pure joy bursts inside me like an overinflated balloon as my laughter rings throughout the space.
You were amazing, he says, smacking a kiss against my lips.
I pull back just enough to meet his gaze. So are you. You're a man of many talents, Maverick McKinnon. He smirks.
You haven't seen anything yet, sunshine. Trust me, there's more where that came from.
My body slides down his harder one before my toes touch the stage. That's exactly the way it feels when we're together. Like my feet don't quite touch the ground. Being with him is like living in a Technicolor dream, one I don't ever want to wake from. I'm so afraid that once I reveal the truth, everything will change, and I'll end up losing what I've only just found.
You ready to get out of here?
I jerk my head in a nod, knowing exactly what I need to do.
Chapter 32, Maverick. I slip my arm around Willow as we exit the stage. Without a doubt, this girl has become my sunshine. The more time we spend together, the more she eclipses everything else in my life. It's why the song fits so perfectly. I want her to understand that I'm serious about this relationship. I'm serious about her. And I hope like hell that she feels the same because I'm all in. As we're heading out the back door, the last person I expect to see tonight bursts through it. River fucking Thompson. Fury vibrates off him in heavy, suffocating waves as his narrowed gaze combs over the crowd before settling on Willow. His eyes widen before slicing to me. You motherfucker! A growl escapes from him right before he launches himself in my direction. Willow gasps as I shove her from the fray. If he touches one damn hair on her head, I'll bury the guy alive. Before I can get into position, he lands a punch to my cheek with enough force to snap my head to the side. Stars burst behind my eyes. Chaos breaks out as people yell, clearing the area and forming a semicircle around the two of us. From my periphery, I catch sight of Ryder, Hayes, Bridger, and Madden. Ryder steps forward, attempting to break up the fight as I land a quick jab to River's nose. He swears a blue streak under his breath as blood seeps from one nostril. River, stop! Willow yells. The sound of her voice is just enough to distract me, and the asshole lands a solid hit to the side of my head. Fuck! Muted sound rings in my ears as my vision goes blurry. I give my head a little shake to help clear it. I've been in plenty of fights on the ice. Once Ryder and I were in high school, my father signed us up for boxing lessons, so we'd know how to take a hit and return them. The training has been invaluable. It doesn't take long for me to regroup and land a couple more punches before Jerry, one of the bouncers, steps in to break up the brawl. Ryder and Hayes drag me away, as Jerry does the same with River. We're both breathing hard. It's only now that we've been torn apart and adrenaline isn't pumping through my bloodstream that I realize how much my face hurts. The asshole landed a few good hits. Not that I'll be enlightening him to that fact. My guess is that someone else learned how to box as well.
Settle the fuck down,
Jerry bites out as River continues to struggle against his ironclad hold. I take a good look at him. All the times we've gotten into it on the ice, I've never seen such rage filling his blue eyes. If he could murder me with his bare hands, I think he'd do it. He turns to glare at Willow.
What the hell are you doing with that guy?
Fear flashes across her features as she falls back a step.
I'm sorry, I should have...
Should have what?
He bites out, voice rising above the din.
Told me that you were sneaking around behind my back?
My heart pounds a painful staccato in my chest as I still, watching their interaction, waiting for her to tell him that whatever they had is over, that it has been for a while. She's with me now.
It's not like that, she whispers before wincing. All right, so maybe it is.
There's a pause.
I wanted to tell you, but I knew this was exactly how you'd react.
Hurt flickers across his face, and that's all it takes for the fight to drain out of him.
You know I hate it when you keep shit from me.
My brows snap together when she takes a tentative step in his direction. What the fuck is going on here?
It's cool now, River grumbles to the bouncer. You can let me go.
Jerry keeps him locked up tight, and for good reason. The guy came in swinging first and asking questions second.
You cause any more problems, and you'll get a nice pair of silver bracelets to wear for your complimentary ride to the station. Got it?
River's gaze stays pinned to Willow as his lips flatten into a thin line. After a second or two, he jerks his head in a tight nod. Only then does the muscular bouncer release his grip and take a step in retreat, staying close enough to jump in if necessary. It only takes 3 long-legged strides for River to eat up the distance between him and Willow. Just as he reaches out to grab hold of her, I bark, "Don't you dare lay one fucking finger on her!" He swings around and bares his teeth like a rabid dog before hauling her into his arms.
Or what? What the fuck are you going to do?
Hayes and Ryder tighten their grip on me, as if they understand my intent before I do. A potent concoction of fury and jealousy crashes over me as I struggle against my teammates.
You had your chance, now she belongs to me!
His face scrunches.
What the hell are you talking about, McKinnon? She's my fucking sister!
The world around me goes eerily silent as my gaze bounces between the pair. Willow's blue eyes flare as her features turn ashen. Sister? Willow is River's
sister?
It's only now that I see them standing side by side that I realize how much they resemble one another. Both have the same cornflower blue eyes, golden blonde hair, and facial features. Although where River is tall and muscular, Willow is finer boned and more fragile looking. River's expression turns possessive as his arm locks around her.
Yeah, dumbass, she's my sister, my fucking twin.
Twin? Holy shit. It feels like I've entered a parallel dimension, one I never knew existed. My brain continues to somersault.
I had no idea,
I mumble, feeling like the dumbass he just called me.
How didn't I know this?
Better question is, why didn't Willow share this information with me herself? My gaze slices back to her as the question circles around in my brain.
Don't you see? He was using you to get back at me. That's all this was. Fucking revenge.
Even in the dim lighting of the bar, her cheeks drain of all color as uncertainty flickers in her eyes. Shock spirals through me. After everything we've shared these past few weeks, it hurts that she would believe the worst in me.
All he'll do is throw you away like a used-up tissue.
I shake my head when her attention resettles on mine. The questions and doubts that have mushroomed up within her eyes are nearly enough to kill me.
You know that isn't true, Sunshine. I didn't know you were related to that asshole.
My voice trails off before I correct myself.
River, I didn't know he was your brother. No, it's worse than that, River interrupts. You thought she was my girlfriend, someone I cared about.
It takes a moment to realize how silent the bar has grown. A pin drop could be heard as the crowd that rings us swells and sighs. I hate that everyone is standing around listening to our personal business being hashed out. She straightens to her full height as emotion floods her eyes.
Is that what this is? Were you only trying to settle an old score with River?
Her gaze studies mine, attempting to pick through my private thoughts.
Just be honest, she gulps. Please.
Even though she lied to me, I find that I'm unable to be anything less than truthful with her. Maybe in the beginning...
See?
River pounces on the admittance. It was all a fucking game. He snarls before stabbing a finger in my direction.
Stay the fuck away from Willow. She's not like other girls. She's...
He pauses, almost as if searching for the right word to use.
Vulnerable, and doesn't need you playing head games with her.
My brows jerk together. Vulnerable? What the hell does that mean? River opens his mouth only to snap it shut a second later. The ruddy color filling his face drains as he shoots an uncertain look at Willow. Just when I think he'll refuse to answer, his voice dips, turning husky.
She had cancer.
Air gets knocked from my lungs, making it impossible to breathe. My attention shifts to Willow as the bomb River just dropped reverberates throughout my entire being. Cancer? My brain cartwheels, making it difficult to hold on to a single thought. Before I can come up with a response, River beats me to the punch.
You come near her again, and I'll finish what I started tonight. Understand?
Then he's gone, disappearing with his sister through the exit and into the night. And still, the only thing I can do is stare at the last place I saw her standing. Willow had cancer?
Chapter 33, Willow. I stare sightlessly out the windshield as River stabs the ignition button and the SUV roars to life. A heavy silence blankets us as he squeals out of the parking lot and onto the main road that leads back to campus. In less than 5 minutes, my life has been turned upside down. My head spins as shock reverberates throughout my entire being. It takes effort to force the words through stiff lips. Why did you do that? River's angry gaze slices in my direction before glaring back at the ribbon of road stretched out in front of us. Do what? Protect you from the asshole who was only using you to get back at me? His words are like a punch to the gut, robbing the air from my lungs. Everything that happened between Maverick and me flashes through my brain like a slow-motion picture show. No, it wasn't like that. At least, I don't think it was. He shoots another glare at me as his voice rises.
He fucking admitted it!
There's a pause before another outburst.
You heard him!
Tears sting the backs of my eyes as I wrap my arms around my middle and stare sightlessly out the passenger side window. My brother isn't wrong. Maverick did admit that he wanted to steal me from River because of what happened in high school. Even though that acknowledgement hurts, it's not nearly as painful as what River did. Whether my brother realizes it or not, there are bigger issues at play. You have to stop outing my cancer diagnosis. Before he can respond, I snap. I'm not a fucking disease. Not every person I meet needs to know my medical history. And you do it all the time. His intake of breath is sharp and audible as his expression twists, turning pained.
I never meant...
Bullshit! You always pull out the cancer card anytime a guy shows interest, and I'm tired of it. There's a pause before I tack on. It needs to stop. His wide eyes fasten on mine in the darkness.
I'm sorry. All I've ever wanted to do is protect you, Willow. You're my twin, a piece of me.
He swallows as his eyes turn shiny in the darkness.
There were times when I thought we'd lose you.
He shakes his head.
How the fuck could I go on if the most important piece of me was gone?
Some of my anger melts away at the thick emotion that clogs his deep voice. Unable to help myself, I wrap my hand around his, before giving it a squeeze, wanting to draw him out of those painful memories. All the love that fills my heart is silently conveyed in that one touch. It only takes one shared look, a brush of hands, or even a thought popping into one of our heads to understand what the other is thinking or feeling. It's the kind of bond that can never be severed. Even though it would be far easier to drop the topic and move on to something else less painful, I can't. I despise arguing or being at odds with River because it feels as though I'm not right with myself. But the only way for me to move on is to finally air it out. I need to do something with my twin that I never expected. Set boundaries. The thought saddens me. In a way, it's like hacking off a limb, but I need to be my own person. I can't continue living in the shadows and allowing the people around me to hold me back. As much as they love me, they're smothering me, hampering me. They're not allowing me to spread my wings and fly. That's all I've ever wanted to do. As much as I know this will hurt him, he needs to understand my feelings on the matter. Not only that, he needs to accept them. Mom, Dad, and you are the ones who make me feel sick. There are times when I actually forget that I had cancer, and you know what? Those are amazing days. But then Mom calls, or you out me to someone I just met, and it's like the candle has been snuffed out, and I'm dragged back into the darkness. Alone. It's isolating, and I hate it. I really fucking hate it. I let that sink in before adding, it makes me not want to be around any of you. And that just breaks my heart because I love you all so much. His face turns ashen as anguish floods his eyes.
God, I'm sorry, Willow.
He opens his mouth as if to say something more before slamming it shut with the next breath. His pain has always been my own. When I hurt him, I caused the same damage to myself. We're so tightly connected and intertwined. As much as I've always loved that feeling of never truly being alone in this world, especially during my darkest hours, I need the separation. I need boundaries.
I've never wanted to see you hurt,
he mutters, thick emotion invading his voice. It's so tempting to crumble and offer forgiveness the way I have in the past. Instead, I force myself to hold strong. Nothing will change between us if I don't. Right now, you're the one who's causing me pain. Those charged words hang heavy in the air. The remainder of the drive is silent, bursting with unease. The one thing it never is between us.
Chapter 34, Maverick. I slam into the locker room and throw my stick into the holder before stalking to the bench and chucking my gloves. Only then am I able to unsnap the chin strap and rip the helmet off my head. Sweat drips from my hair as I draw a lungful of fresh air into my body and bury my head in my hands. It was a shitty practice, the worst I've had since starting at Western. I was off the entire time, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get back into the flow. I wasn't focused on the scrimmage. When I should have capitalized on scoring opportunities, I missed a handful of easy shots. Then there were the defensive lapses and turnovers. Instead of battling Hayes against the boards when he was driving the puck toward the net, I hesitated and backed off. Thoughts of Willow have been fucking with my head ever since Saturday night at Slapshots. Before I can calm the chaotic whirl of my thoughts, Coach bellows, McKinnon, in my office after your shower. Looks like you screwed the pooch this time, Colby says after the frosted glass door stops vibrating on its hinges. Tell me something I don't know, I mutter, as other players stop and stare at the now closed office door, and then at me. Looks of pity fill their expressions as they return to their convos. I'm sure they're just glad it isn't their asses he'll be crawling up. Ryder strips off his pads. A couple months ago, he would have given me shit like Colby and rubbed the predicament in my face. Instead, he remains quiet, his thoughts hidden behind a mask.
There's an unease between us that wasn't there before. Not only do I fucking hate it, I have no idea how to move past it. Especially when the silence that stretches between us turns unbearable. For a few seconds, I consider heading to Coach's office now and getting this convo, or more than likely ass-chewing, over with. It's better than sitting here and drowning in this awkwardness.
I didn't even know you were seeing that chick,
he mutters, staring straight ahead at his locker. Willow, I grumble, irritated that he'd refer to her as just some chick. No matter what happened the other night, that's the last thing she is. His gaze flickers in my direction as he shifts.
Sorry, Willow.
After removing his chest and elbow pads, he bends down to unlace his skates.
Why didn't you mention it? I had to hear about it from Juliet.
I shrug as anger bubbles up inside me. It takes effort to keep it under wraps.
What else do you expect when you spend all of your time with her?
I wince, hating how butthurt that came out sounding. If I could snatch the words from the air, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but that's not possible. They're out there demanding acknowledgement. His brows knit as he frowns before glancing up to meet my gaze.
I didn't think you had a problem with us being together.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why does everything need to be spelled out? I huff out an irritated breath and try to wrap my brain around my thoughts in order to express them. I don't. Well, not really. When he remains silent, I blurt,
Guess I didn't expect that you'd drop me like a bad habit. The only time we see each other is on the ice.
Heat stings my cheeks as I glance away.
Now I really do sound like a needy bitch, and that's the last thing I want.
I squeeze my eyes tightly closed and suck in a deep breath before expelling it from my body. This whole talking about my feelings thing sucks even more than I assumed it would. But I'm knee-deep in it. The only thing I can do at this point is wade all the way in before reaching the other side. And who knows? Maybe the guy who's always been my best friend will be nothing more than my sister's boyfriend. The sadness that floods my system at that thought is more anguishing than a gunshot wound.
Look, I know it doesn't sound like it, but I really am happy for you and Juliet.
In hindsight, I should have seen what was right in front of my face and realized that you two had feelings for one another. I jerk my shoulders.
Maybe I just didn't want to see it. Maybe deep down inside, I knew on some level that everything would change between us.
Ryder blinks as he stares at me like I just sprouted a horn on my forehead. His voice fades as he glances away with a frown.
Well, fuck.
I've just bared my damn soul to this guy, and he's at a total loss for words. He can't even look at me. I want the floor to open up and swallow me whole. There is definitely no coming back from this. Even though guys are joking and talking shit in the locker room, it doesn't infiltrate the bubble of silence that has settled over us. Just when I'm about to tell him to forget the conversation, he mumbles,
I'm sorry. I had no idea you felt that way. I wish you'd said something sooner about it. I hate that you've been holding all this inside. I promise I'll make more of an effort to hang out.
His lips quirk as he tosses his skates into the locker and meets my gaze.
Like we used to.
Air leaks from my lungs as my heart pounds a steady tattoo against my chest. Inside, I'm fist pumping. Outwardly, I jerk my head into a nonchalant nod.
Yeah, that would be cool. Whatever it takes, we'll get it figured out.
After a few minutes, I clear my throat. It's not like I don't want you spending time with my sister.
Yeah, I know.
His voice turns pensive.
Guess I didn't realize we'd gotten so wrapped up in one another that we were excluding our friends. It's something we should probably talk about.
He jerks his chin toward me before smiling.
Who knows? Maybe once you iron out everything with Willow, the four of us can go out sometime.
That's all it takes for thoughts of her to crash over me again. I drag a hand through my sweat-soaked hair.
Yeah, I'm not sure what will happen with that.
For all I know, we're over before we ever really started. That thought is like an arrow piercing my heart. The pain of it is almost enough to have me doubling over. His voice gentles.
Have you talked to her about what happened at the bar? I shake my head. No. Why not? From what I saw, it seemed like she really meant something to you. She did. I wince and correct myself. I mean, she does. More than anyone else has in a long time. Maybe more than anyone else ever has. He jerks a brow. But the situation is complicated. His expression turns curious. How come? I roll my eyes. I think we both know the answer to that one. In three words, River fucking Thompson. He shrugs. I know you hate the dude, but what does that have to do with Willow? His eyes search mine. One of the reasons I stayed away from Jules for so long is because I knew you wouldn't like it. But it got to a point where I couldn't let our friendship stand in the way of something that could be amazing. If you really care about this girl, then don't let your issues with River be what stops you. He's not wrong. I stare down at my hands. There's the other thing, I mumble, unable to meet his eyes. The C word? It's not a question. Ryder was there through it all when Mom battled cancer. He knows exactly how much it affected all of us. Me especially. Can I open myself up to potentially losing someone else I care about down the road? I don't know. As that question circles through my brain, I glance around, only to realize that Hayes is eavesdropping on our convo. When I frown, he pops a shoulder. Just wanted to make sure you two hugged it out. I was thinking about gathering the guys for an intervention. With a shake of my head, I mutter, shut the fuck up, dude. I'm embarrassed that our private convo wasn't so private after all. Then again, maybe we shouldn't have done this in a locker room full of our teammates. He's totally serious, Colby says, using the towel to dry his hair. We talked about it the other night. We were thinking of catering the affair with barbecue. He pats his belly. I could have gone for that while you two hashed your shit out. He shrugs. Guess that won't be necessary. Bummer. More important than barbecue is all those good vibes we need gelling on the ice, Hayes adds with a grin. Ryder shakes his head. You guys were stressing over nothing. His gaze settles on mine. We're all good, right? For the first time in a while, our friendship feels as if it's back on solid ground. Yep, so feel free to move it along. There's nothing to see here. Glad to hear it. Colby hauls his boxers up his legs. You never answered Ryder's question about Willow, Hayes cuts in, some of his humor fading. As our gazes collide, I'm struck with the realization that he had insider intel he didn't bother to share with me. My brows jerk together as I growl, why the fuck didn't you give me a heads up and tell me she was River's sister or that she was sick? He shrugs. It didn't really seem like my place. Is this guy being serious? When the hell have you ever been concerned with minding your own business or staying in your place? I ask with a disbelieving snort, using my fingers to make air quotes around the last word. He folds his arms across his brawny chest. I've known River for a long time. I consider him a friend in the same way that I consider you one. I know what happened between you two, and I didn't want to get caught up in the middle of it. I told Willow she needed to come clean, but that was her story to tell, not mine. And she doesn't have cancer anymore. There's a pause as his brow furrows. At least, I don't think she does. What I do know is that she was diagnosed in high school, and by the time we graduated, she was in remission. That girl has been to hell and back. She deserves all the happiness she can grab hold of. And if you can't be part of that, then don't mess with her. Hearing about her cancer is like a kick to the balls and sucks the air from my lungs as icy fingers wrap their way around my heart before squeezing. It takes a few seconds to realize that it's the very same kind of fear and anxiety that takes hold of me when I worry about Mom. I've spent years trying to keep these emotions at bay. Somehow, Willow has managed to sneak past all of my defenses and burrow deep inside my heart. I have no idea if there's a way to evict her, and I'm no longer sure if I want to. Our relationship was complicated from the moment I saw her sitting in the visitor section, wearing River fucking Thompson's jersey, cheering for him when he scored a goal. How is it possible that it's become even more convoluted? We're supposed to meet up for a tutoring session tonight.
It was set up before everything exploded over the weekend. I'll admit that I considered blowing it off until I was able to get a better grasp on my feelings. But if I do that, I'm running away from my problems. What I've learned over the years from having dyslexia is that nothing good happens when you do that. In fact, it only makes everything worse. Uncertainty spirals through me as I strip off the rest of my gear and hop into the shower before getting dressed. Then I head to Coach's office to get my ass-chewing over with. Ryder glances at me as I huff out of breath. Want me to wait around? I shake my head. Nah, I'll see you back at the house. I've got something to take care of. The guy who I've always considered my best friend smirks. Something or someone? Someone. As I say it, a sense of rightness settles over me. He nods. Good. We just might be able to make that double date happen after all. I hope so. I realize I've never meant anything more as I straighten my shoulders and wrap my knuckles against the frosted glass door. Come in. I poke my head inside the small space. You wanted to see me, Coach? Yeah. He glances up from the paperwork strewn across his desk. Close the door and take a seat. Chapter 35, Maverick. 20 minutes later, I'm hustling my ass across campus, hoping to make it to the library by 6 o'clock. I consider calling or texting Willow a million times throughout the week, but ultimately, it's better if we have this conversation in person. The entire time Coach had been yapping, I'd snuck quick peeks at my phone, hoping he'd bottom line his long list of grievances. No such luck. He'd gone on for another 15 damn minutes before finally wrapping up his spiel. And now I'm late. At 6:10, I yank open the door and rush through the lobby to the staircase before taking the risers two at a time. The closer I get, the more anxiety crashes through me. Even though it's only been a handful of days since we last saw each other, it feels more like weeks. I'm starving for the sight of her. Once I reach the third floor, my gaze coasts over the area before spotting a blonde with her back to me. Her head is bent, and her hair is in a messy bun at the top of her head. I suck in a deep breath, hoping to steady everything that rampages inside me. Sweat springs to my palms as I beeline to the table she's parked at. Hey! The greeting bursts from my lips before I can stop it. I spend most of practice thinking about how I wanted this conversation to go. It's the reason I was such a shit show on the ice, and Coach let me know it. His advice was that I needed to focus on what's important, my future, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Willow has become a bright spot in my life, and I refuse to lose that, or her. The moment she glances up and meets my gaze, a large smile breaks out across her face. Hi! I blink, thrown off guard at finding a stranger. The longer I stare, the more I wonder how I ever thought she was Willow. Upon closer inspection, other than the fact that their hair color is a similar shade and they're roughly the same size, she looks nothing like my girl. I'm sorry, I mumble, taking a hasty step in retreat. I thought you were someone else. I shift and glance around the third floor, hoping to spot her. Just when I'm about to swing away, she chirps, Maverick, right? My heart picks up tempo. Yeah.
I'm Stacy. Willow asked me to take over your tutoring sessions for the remainder of the semester.
With a tilt of her head, she eyes me up.
I thought she would have mentioned it.
The tossed out comment is like a kick to the balls. No, she didn't.
That's all right.
Her smile widens as she points to the chair across from her.
Why don't you take a seat and we can get started?
Sorry, I just remembered that I have a thing and need to reschedule. Her brows draw together as she frowns.
Are you sure? I probably won't be able to squeeze you in again for a couple of days.
Yeah, I am. Before she can come up with another way to detain me, I take off. Did Willow really think she could send someone else in her place in hopes of avoiding me? Huh. That's not about to happen.
Chapter 36, Willow. I curl up in a ball on the bed and screw my eyelids closed. Every time a shiver racks my body, I drag the comforter up around my neck to ward off the chills. A few minutes later, it'll feel like I'm burning up and I'll toss off the blanket. This scenario has been playing on repeat for hours. When Holland hovers near the threshold of the room, my eyelids flutter open to meet her concerned stare. "Are you sure there isn't something I can get for you? A drink? Maybe some crackers? How about a bowl of soup?" The thought of food makes me nauseous, but I keep that to myself. I don't want Holland to realize just how miserable I feel. Instead, I shake my head and close my eyes, only wanting to sleep off whatever virus I've picked up. "No," I mumble, "I'm not hungry." "You need to at least drink and stay hydrated." I point to the bottle of water on my nightstand. "I'm trying." A heavy silence settles over us. It's almost a surprise when she mutters, "As much as I hate to even speak her name, maybe we should call Bex." I force my eyelids open again and shoot her a scowl. "Don't you dare. It's just a little bug. A day or so of rest and I'll be fine. You'll see." "I don't know." She creeps closer before staring down at me. "You're really pale." "We both know that I've always been pale. Don't you remember the way Johnny Decker teased me in fourth grade? He tried to convince everyone that I was an albino." "That kid was such a little fucker." "Truth." There's a beat of silence. "And he never said another peep to me after you broke his nose." For the first time since Holland stepped into my room, a smile lifts the corners of her lips. "That's one of my favorite memories from elementary school." "You're lucky you didn't get suspended." She shrugs. "I could have used a little R&R. That unit on the Revolutionary War was a killer." When the humor fades from her expression, I realize that my distraction technique hasn't worked. "I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm worried. This conversation has become exhausting. I just want to sleep."
"Don't be,"
I mumble around a yawn. "Everybody gets sick." "Yeah," her voice wavers before trailing off. "But not everybody has a weakened immune system." I huff out a sigh. "Always have to throw that in my face, don't you?" My bestie settles tentatively on the edge of the bed. "That's not what I'm trying to do." "I know. I think we need to..." Her voice dies a quick death when the doorbell chimes throughout the townhouse. My eyes lock on hers before narrowing. "If that's my mom, you're in deep trouble." With a frown, Holland rises to her feet. "I didn't call her, but I wouldn't put it past Bex to have a sixth sense where you're concerned." That sad piece of truth is enough to have a weak chuckle escaping from me. "You're 100% right about that. Sometimes it's scary."
"What are you talking about? It's always scary."
When the doorbell peals for a second time, she says, "I'll be right back." It's only when she slips from the room that my eyelids drift shut again.
Chapter 37, Maverick. I'm about to hit the bell for a third time when the door swings open and I find a tall girl with strawberry blonde hair standing on the other side. Even though I stopped by a couple days ago, we never introduced ourselves. When she continues to stare in awkward silence, I lift a hand in greeting. Hey, I'm Mav.
I know who you are.
Her voice turns impatient.
What do you want?
I peek past her into the townhouse. Is Willow around? She shifts, blocking my view.
She's busy at the moment, but I'll be sure to let her know you stopped by.
When she takes a step in retreat and tries to slam the door in my face, I flatten my palm against the thick wood. Busy with what? Her narrowed eyes slice to my hand.
You're going to want to move that appendage unless you'd like it broken.
My brows shoot up at the hostility that pours off her in heavy waves. For someone who doesn't know me, you sure seem to have a problem with me. Her nose scrunches.
You play hockey for the Western Wildcats, right?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. When she attempts to slam the door in my face for a second time, I lose my patience and bark, "I'm sure you won't believe this, but I'm actually not trying to piss you off. I just want to talk to Willow and straighten things out between us. My voice trails off as I swallow past the thick lump in my throat. It would be so much easier to tell this angry girl to go fuck herself. But the most important thing is clearing the air with Willow. I'm not leaving until that happens. So if that means I need to drop to my knees and beg Willow's guard dog, who'd much rather take a chunk out of my ass than to let me speak with her, even for 5 damn minutes, then that's exactly what I'll do." My shoulders wilt as my eyes plead with hers. "Look, I really care about Willow. We had a misunderstanding, and I want to make sure we're good. If you're afraid I'm going to come in here and upset her, I won't. Promise." I hold my breath and wait for the verdict. It takes a handful of seconds for her expression to soften. Marginally. For all I know, it's a trick of the light. She searches my face for a long, silent moment that leaves me fidgeting beneath her steady stare. I get the feeling this girl sees way more than I'm comfortable with. Just when I think everything I've confessed has fallen on deaf ears, and she'll slam the door in my face one final time, she surprises me by poking a finger at my chest. "If you say anything to upset her, I'll personally make sure that you never play hockey again. Are we clear?" Crystal. The scary part is that I believe her. This girl is no joke. She'd happily fuck me up. After another hard look, she grudgingly steps aside, allowing me into the tiny entryway. As soon as I walk by, she slams the door closed before pushing past me. My gaze flies over the compact living room, taking in all the homey touches as we cross through it to a hallway on the other side. Just as we reach a closed door, she spins around to face me. "Willow isn't feeling well." I frown, thrown off by the warning. "What do you mean?" Only now do I pick up on the anxiety wafting off her as she jerks her shoulders. "She caught a cold or the flu. I'm not sure which. She's been sleeping for most of the day." There's a pause. "I threatened to call her mother if she gets any worse." A chill slithers down my spine. It's the same feeling I get when Mom isn't feeling well. My chest will constrict, making it impossible to suck in a lungful of air. I don't realize that I've hesitated outside the door until her roommate clears her throat. "Don't stay long." I glance at her again, only to find concern etched across her expression. "I won't." With that, she spins away, retreating into the living room. I stare at the closed door. I fucking hate the ball of nerves that has settled in the pit of my belly, along with the memories mushrooming up inside me. The fear, the lack of control, the anger. I have to mentally prod myself into rapping my knuckles against the door. I wait a beat, then another. When a response isn't forthcoming, I push open the thick wood and peek inside the dimly lit space. Every muscle constricts when I find Willow curled up on the bed, under the covers, with her eyelids closed. She doesn't bother to open them.
"Who was it, Hall? Not the Holy Rollers again?"
I step inside the room before closing the door and clearing my throat. Nope, it wasn't them. Her eyelids flutter open and her tongue darts out to moisten her lips.
"Maverick?"
She glances at the clock on the nightstand next to the bed.
"What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be at the library?"
I cock my head. Hard to do when my tutor bailed on me.
"She did?"
Her brow furrows.
"That doesn't sound like Stacy."
"I meant you." There is a beat of silence before her gaze shifts and understanding dawns.
"It seemed like it might be better for both of us if you worked with someone else."
I take another step closer. It feels like there's an invisible thread binding us together. What if that's not what I want?
Maverick.
What? The mattress dips as I tentatively settle on the edge. Unable to stop myself, I reach out and run my hand over her cheek.
Her skin is surprisingly hot to the touch. There's a beat of silence before her solemn gaze flickers back to mine.
I have to know. Did you only sleep with me to get back at River? Is that all it ever was? A game?
Chapter 38, Willow. His feather-like touch drifts over my face, pushing the sweaty strands of my hair away from my forehead. All I want to do is press my cheek against his cool palm. The silence that stretches between us sets my nerves on edge.
The first time I saw you sitting in the stands, I couldn't stop staring. As corny as it sounds, it felt like time stood still. I was afraid that if I looked away for even a second, you'd disappear.
His lips quirk.
The fact that you were wearing River's jersey pissed me off. It's the reason I went after him.
Air leaks from my lungs as a shiver dances down my spine. The moment I saw him on the ice during the game will forever be singed into my brain for all eternity. Even though I should have been focused on my brother, I couldn't take my eyes off Maverick. He eclipsed everything and everyone around him.
Afterward, I figured I wouldn't see you again. But you showed up at the bar, and I knew at that point I had to have you. It didn't matter who you were with or belonged to. I wanted you to be mine, at least for one night.
He jerks his shoulders,
long enough to fuck you out of my system. Instead, I woke up the next morning, only wanting to get my hands on you again. And you disappeared, leaving behind your necklace. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get you out of my head. All I wanted to do was find you, see you again.
His eyes sear mine as he continues to stroke my cheek.
What I feel for you has nothing to do with your brother. After all these years, I don't give a shit about what happened with Sabrina. You're the only one who matters, Sunshine.
As tempting as it is to believe him, doubt bubbles up inside me, making it impossible. You admitted at the bar that you wanted to get back at my brother by sleeping with me. He squeezes his eyes tightly closed and bows his head.
You're what I wanted, just you. I'll admit that hurting River was a bonus. I wish it hadn't been. More than anything, I hate that it tainted the beginning of our relationship, because that's exactly what it was.
My heart flutters as I weigh his soft words. When I remain silent, his thumb strokes over my lower lip.
Your silence is killing me. Tell me what you're thinking.
I release the pent-up air from my lungs as our conversation circles through my brain. Maverick is the first guy to come along and make me feel like I'm not made of spun glass that will break when the slightest bit of pressure is applied. And I've loved every minute of it, even, or maybe especially, when he pushed me out of my comfort zone. I've relived every single time he laid his hands on me. The idea of going back to a pale imitation of what we've explored together is depressing. My teeth scrape across my lower lip as I shake my head. I don't know, Maverick. Even though it guts me to say it, I force out the truth. I'm not sure if there's a way for us to move forward. He scoots closer before sneaking his hand around the nape of my neck and tipping my head upward until his lips can hover over mine.
Don't say that. The past couple days without you have been shit. And it only drives home how much you mean to me.
He gulps.
How much I need you in my life. I don't want to lose what we've only just found. I don't want to lose you.
His warm breath ghosts across my lips. It's intoxicating. All I want to do is inhale a deep breath of him and hold it hostage in my lungs forever, to always keep him close. Even if this is the only way to do it. I'm scared. I admit. Scared that even if we try to make it work between us, he'll treat me differently. Or worse, you'll decide that you need someone with less baggage, and you'll walk away. His brows furrow.
That's not going to happen, Sunshine.
How can you be so sure?
Because I've never cared for anyone the way I care about you. When we're apart, I think about you all the time. And when we're together, I don't want to let you go. You might not realize it, but your nickname fits you perfectly because you fill my world with bright sunshine. And when we're not together, everything feels blanketed in darkness. I just want to bask in your presence so your light can shine down on me.
Tears prick the backs of my eyes. No one has ever said anything so beautiful to me. Are you sure? The question is out of my mouth before I can rein it back in. With a shake of his head, his lips quirk.
I've never been more certain about anything in my life.
Okay. Joy explodes inside me, before rushing through my veins until the tips of my fingers and toes tingle with it. When he presses a kiss against my lips, I whisper, "Will you promise me one thing?"
"Anything."
"I don't want you treating me like I'm some kind of fragile flower. I loved everything we did together." I straighten my shoulders. "And I refuse to accept anything less."
"Trust me, Sunshine. That's not going to happen. I love the way we fuck. And as long as you tell me that you're good, we'll keep doing it."
My heart flip-flops.